Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering. Jesus said all of this quite openly. Amen. If you could bypass suffering, would you? Seriously, if you could live your whole life over again, would you skip all of the moments where you underwent great suffering? Take a moment to consider this question deeply. Peter is the guy in our scriptures that always says the thing nobody else is willing to say out loud. Peter is the guy with no filter, the one where when he speaks, everybody listening just goes, "Oh!" In today's gospel in Mark chapter 8, Jesus has fed the 5,000. Jesus has healed the blind man. Jesus has cleansed the leper. And so people are starting to talk. Who is this man called Jesus? In the verse right before the one we hear today, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter's kind of like that kid that always sits in the front of the classroom. And he's like, me, pick me. I know the right answer. And so Jesus says, okay, Peter, yeah, you. And Peter says, you are the Messiah. He's very sure he's gotten this one right. But then Jesus looks right at him and he responds, oh, don't say that, Peter. This response by Jesus shows up a lot in Mark's gospel. Don't tell anyone that I am the Messiah. We call this statement by Jesus the messianic secret. You see, we've built this theory, this theology around this messianic secret that claims that Jesus said this because people weren't ready to know he was the Messiah, or because that knowledge would lead Rome to kill him even sooner. But the truth is, we don't know. We don't know why Jesus tells his disciples not to call him the Messiah in public. We just don't know. So I'm curious, maybe Jesus didn't want his disciples to call him Messiah in public because his title was not really that important. Maybe being called the Messiah was not actually the point to the whole story. Maybe Jesus having this title actually felt like a distraction from Jesus's mission. Maybe. The truth is, we made that whole messianic secret theory up. And the truth is, we don't know, because Jesus never taught them why he told them not to call him the Messiah. But right after he says, don't say that to Peter, it says in Mark, Jesus did begin to teach them. And so this part we do know, because here it is, Jesus taught them, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering. For some reason, this teaching from Jesus really gets to Peter. He doesn't like it. It seems Peter would rather focus on Jesus's power that comes from status, that comes from his title, rather than on his mission and the truth that Jesus teaches them here, the Son of Man, which is what Jesus calls himself, must undergo great suffering. Peter is so baffled and appalled by this. Peter is so offended that Peter rebukes Jesus. To rebuke someone means to criticize someone strongly because you disapprove of what that person has said or done. Peter disapproves of Jesus? But why? What is so offensive to Peter about the fact that Jesus will suffer? So, if you could bypass suffering in your life, would you? If you could magically wave your hand and create a life for those you love so that they never suffered, would you want to? I mean, clearly that is a rhetorical question because we can't. We cannot save ourselves or others from suffering. But what part of you might wish you could? That's what I'd like for you to notice right now. In the gospel, Peter represents the universal part of every human that would bypass suffering if we could. And we see clearly in the rest of the story that Peter never accepts the fact that Jesus does suffer. Peter never makes peace with the reality of suffering. Instead of accepting this reality of suffering, Peter falls asleep when Jesus is suffering the night before he is killed. And then Peter denies Jesus in his hour of need. I am curious, if Peter had accepted suffering and that Jesus would suffer, would Peter have been able to stay awake with Jesus? Would he have stood up for him in his hour of need and supported him and comforted him? Would Peter have had the confidence and courage to be present for and with Jesus when he needed him most if he had not resisted the reality of suffering? Jesus, however, accepted that people suffered. Jesus made peace with suffering. And because of that, Jesus had the capacity to be present with those that suffered the most. Because Jesus could be completely present with suffering, he was able to heal people, to eat with outcasts, to proclaim good news to the poor. So what if the title was Messiah or Son of Man? What difference does his title make when he can heal people and transform lives? Jesus knew his title made no difference to his actual mission. Jesus knew what mattered most was actually that he helped these disciples understand and accept suffering. And as Christians called to heal and to proclaim good news to the poor, Jesus needs us to understand and accept suffering as well, not to resist it or deny it, but to make peace with the reality of suffering. This is why we have the cross as one of our most significant symbols as Christians, because it reminds us of the true power of Jesus, not his title, but his capacity to be fully present with suffering and to heal and transform suffering into new life, resurrection. Richard Rohr teaches us this. He says, "I believe that only people who have suffered in some way can save one another." Deep communion, dear compassion are formed much more by shared pain than by shared pleasure. I do not know why that is true, he says. We are not saved by any formulas or theologies or any priesthoods, but by our shared human journey. Pixie Lighthorse, a Choctaw Nation member and author of The Wound Makes the Medicine, says this: our wounds are hard at work making their sacred medicine in the hidden spaces below our scars. With loss, there may be nothing satisfying, nothing to fully replace what we have lost. So the sacred task at hand becomes to let yourself be reclaimed by something deeper than simply getting back what you have lost or stopping the suffering. And that something deeper leads to an immense freedom, a natural compassion, a sense of divine union with all people who have also lost that which they loved, who have also suffered. Suffering does not mean that we have failed. It means that we are human. The only failure is when we fall asleep in the face of suffering, or when we deny or minimize the reality of suffering and miss the opportunity to receive the medicine suffering offers us and those we love, which is connection and compassion and courage. Deep communion and dear compassion are formed by shared pain. And in that deep communion and dear compassion, we are much stronger together. Love is stronger than death, it says in the Song of Songs. Love is stronger than death. To love is to have the capacity to stand with courage in the face of suffering, to stand with, not to fix, not to mend, not to manage, but to stand with. That is love. That part of us that would rather bypass suffering, the part Peter speaks from in our gospel today, that part is understandable. I have that part. Part of me is sick of suffering, others and mine. But I also have the experience, the healing medicine that is made under the surface of my scars. Connection, compassion, courage to stand with. That medicine takes time and attention, patience, and understanding to formulate and to become accessible to us. To have the capacity to let the suffering become medicine and to trust that suffering can actually heal and that suffering has something to teach us. And that we are all connected by the reality of human suffering, that is faith. That is what it means to have faith, to know that humans must undergo great suffering and will rise again, life and death again. Friends, Lent is a season to contemplate reality as it is, not as we think it should be. It is a season to build the capacity to let the medicine formulate under our scars. Only then will we have the capacity and the courage to stand strong in the face of suffering and to use the sacred medicine of compassion and deep communion to heal ourselves and others. That is the way of love. That is transformation. That is resurrection. And nothing about that is a secret. All of this Jesus said quite openly. Amen.